try to keep our Bible studies to a short period of time. Give us one or two points to focus on rather than a whole bunch of stuff. We're continuing, of course, in the book of Peter, the first epistle of Peter. I went back and looked at my notes last week. You'll recall I got a little confused. I thought maybe there was something I was missing. And afterwards, I was sitting there, I was trying to figure out, I thought I had another page. And Mike assured me as we were sitting over in the fellowship hall, he goes, John, everything there was to say about that subject, you said already. It was short, but it was to the point. It was well made. And so I apologize for my confusion last week. But I want to pick up where we left off last week in verse number 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1. You'll recall that we considered the obedience of our Lord and Savior. We considered that everything our Lord did was in obedience to the covenant that He, God the Father, and God the Spirit made before the world began. God the Father gave God the Son a people. On the, not, I don't want to say assumption, because God doesn't assume anything. He knows it. When the Lord says He's going to do something, it's going to get done. And Christ said, I'll become flesh. In that covenant, between the great 3-1, the Lord said, I will become flesh, and I will substitute myself for my people. I will sacrifice myself to cover their sins. And He did that in obedience to the covenant that was made. He humbled Himself. He became flesh, fulfilling the law of God in obedience to the covenant made before the world was. And once again, everything our Lord and Savior did pleased the Father. It was perfect. It's not like you and I. We do stuff and we stumble through it and mess it all up and make it all crazy. Our Lord did it perfectly. That's important because He is our righteousness. And because He did it perfectly, we have a perfect righteousness that places us with God, that redeems us to God. Peter's address to this, to these chosen, declares to these chosen, these elect, that were chosen, elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, because His Son would obediently do what was necessary to redeem this people unto God the Father. Sin had separated God's people from Him. Christ redeemed them unto the Father once again. We are chosen, we are not chosen because of anything that we could do. We were chosen in Christ. It is in Him that we are redeemed from our sinful nature. It is in Him the justice of God was satisfied. It is in Him the righteousness of God is met. And Christ Jesus is either our all in all, or He's nothing at all. If you were to allow me to start my main message within minutes of finishing this morning's Bible study, you'll find that it goes right along together as one flowing thing. After declaring who we are and why we are, Peter gives a prayer to the saints of God. Read the last part of chapter 2, if you would. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now I want to make 2 points in our study this morning. It won't take very long, but notice that he listed grace first. The grace of God first. Grace must precede all else. Without grace, there is no peace. Have you ever heard this phrase, make peace with your God? Only by the grace of God can anyone have peace with Him. If it's not for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in calling us out of darkness, giving us life where there was none, where we were dead in trespasses and sin, if it was not for the grace of God becoming flesh, manifesting Himself as a man to establish a righteousness for us, if it was not for the grace of God, we wouldn't have any peace in anything at all. Grace must come first. Unless the Lord is gracious, none will have real peace. But by God's grace, by His sovereign grace, we are brought to see our need of peace. It is by His grace that we even see our need for it. Remember a time when we all walked through this earth thinking, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I haven't killed anybody today or yesterday. I want to, but I haven't yet. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. Remember those days? I do. I remember them real well. It was 20 years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember a time in my life when God had no presence in it. It was all about John. That's the way we come into this world. That's the way we walk through this world. Until the Lord, by His grace, arrests us. Takes a hold of us. Takes that old stony heart that says, I will not have him rule over me, and says, you're mine. And He puts a brand new heart in each and every one of His people, making us willing in the day of His love. By God's grace, we are brought to see peace found only in the works of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. By His grace, we find that our works mean nothing. By His grace, we see that our works are no more than but dung. We are but a worm. And as we go along through the life, our life, now that the Lord has called us out of that darkness, we see more and more and more of how that dung is deeper and deeper and deeper. And seeing the deeper that we are in that dung, we see the greater in His mercy and having and His grace and having mercy upon us. And then Peter follows up with his prayer for grace with these words, peace be multiplied. What does Peter mean by this? How is our peace multiplied? Turn, if you will, over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. While you're turning there, I want to read some words for you. Hear these words. These words also from the Apostle Peter, of which we will look at a little closer at when we reach them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we read these words. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. How is our peace multiplied is the question. The answer to that is right off the bat, grace. Our peace is multiplied as we begin to see more and more the depth of our Lord's grace to each and every one of us. Listen to the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Folks, we do grow. We do progress. As a baby is born a human, a person, it begins to grow. A baby becomes a young child, growing in the body and the mind. And as it progressively grows, we must keep in mind that it's still 100% human. It's still the same human that it was as a baby. It's just now, it's a bigger baby. Some of us are bigger babies till we're over 40. Point is, folks, it doesn't become more human, but it does grow. When the Lord brings us to know Him, He teaches us our need of Him. Once we did not need Him, now we do, and we need to be continually taught that very thing. Look with me at verses 1 through 11 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and that not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now here's the training, here's the teaching. As we go through our tribulations, we take glory in it because we know that all tribulations lead to a certain thing. Look at what it leads to. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. That word experience means to grow. It means to prosper. It means to progress. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now here's what I want you to read. I want you to listen to this. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now turn, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. That's back towards where we were. Back towards Colossians there. How does one grow? How does one progress? Well, we grow in trust. We grow in our faith. Do we not read in Romans chapter 10, so then faith cometh by hearing? Now listen to these words. So then faith cometh. Doesn't mean that it comes to you once. It means cometh means it keeps coming to you. It continues to come to you. Faith cometh by hearing. Not heard, but hearing over and over and over again. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word hearing here is used as a fashion, in a fashion as continual, as progression. Keep on going. It expands more and more. It progresses. And since the statement that I had read recently, some of you may recall, of a well-known pastor who, using this phrase, progressive sanctification, I have done some research on that phrase. Your pastor must apologize for his ignorance. You see, in days of old, 50 or 60 years ago, before the so-called revival of the mega churches in today's world, you know, Charles Spurgeon had a church of over 2,000 people. That was about as rare as anything anybody had ever seen in the world. Before the mega churches began to spring up, this phrase was well known and used to refer to this very thing, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Sometime in the early 60s, churches began to explode in the United States with the Jesus loves everybody doctrine. Some say that it became a direct result of the hippies. Peace, love, and rock and roll. And along with that, this phrase was turned into the meaning of more than it was originated for, more than what it was used to say. Now they use it to say they become more holy. Look at how much better I am today than I was before. See, I am saved. Look how I have progressively become more holy. Look how I've been progressively become more set aside. They used it to say that we become more holy in our walk with God, and as we become more knowledgeable of Him, they needed to justify their works and their getting better in their works and to be a sign to themselves of their false sense of salvation. That, folks, is a perfect example of how man turns the word of God into lasciviousness. Our sanctification, our holiness, is found in one thing and one thing only. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need holiness more than what you have in Christ, then you don't have Christ. Did not our Lord do everything perfectly? Amen. Well, if He established a perfect holiness for His people, what do we need to be more holy for? Amen. As I said, though, 2 weeks ago, this word is used two different ways. When the Lord said, sanctify, when He told Moses to go in and sanctify the things of the tabernacle, that means to set them apart. In other words, this cup is not like that little cup over here that you normally drink water out of. It's only to be used for the Lord's Supper. Because I want you to put something in that cup that is a representation of who God is. So the word sanctify does not just mean being made holy. In some places it's used as being set apart. Because being made holy is being set apart from the world. If we turn the truths of God's word to fit our own interpretation, we do so to our own destruction, and that's what comes natural to the world. God's people do progress, but not as the world sees progression. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of who our Lord and Savior is. We progress, though, downwardly. What? What do you mean by that? We progress downwardly. You see, 20 years ago, John used to think quite a bit of himself. Yeah. You did too, didn't you, Roger? Yeah. We used to think quite a bit of ourselves. But as we see our own sin, as our own sin becomes more visible, more abounding, and we see and we experience more and more of His grace, knowing we don't deserve it, we see His grace much more abound. John the Baptist puts it this way, just in case you didn't understand what I was saying just now. John the Baptist puts it clear and plain and simple for every one of us to understand. He must increase, but I must decrease. Get the point about being progressive? The world wants to take the word progressive sanctification and say, see here, I'm getting better. But God's people say, see here, this is me. Down here, the worm. But here's the joy of that. I see how wonderful my Lord is. And I see the great wonder in His mercy and love to me. I raise Him up as I get deeper and deeper, knowing that I'm not going to go into that pit that I'm down there right next to the door to, because He has a hold of me. In today's world, I would not use the phrase progressive sanctification for that very reason, because of what the world has turned it into. But I do pray your belief of God's truth grows. This is what sets you and I apart from the world. We see ourselves as the beggar in the corner crying out for mercy. We see our Lord as the giver of that mercy. We see Him giving to us despite what we are, despite what we deserve. He gives us mercy because He loves us with perfection. A perfection that is only found in our substitute, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the magnification of His grace. close with me, if you would, by reading verses 1 through 16 of Ephesians chapter 4. I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthily of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That means separated. That word called means brought out, called out, called out, separated from the world that we once walked in. The vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another with love. Folks, I can tell you from experience that as I see myself where I truly am, it makes it so much easier for me to say, I forgive you. By God's grace, by God's grace, I was able to go to a man that deserved death. And I was able to go to him under the eyes of one who's been forgiven of sins that deserve death, and tell that man 2 weeks before he died that I forgive him. Not from anything that comes from John. But by the grace of God. Because he forgives me. Verse 3. Endeavoring. Attempting. Trying to walk this world the best we can. Keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Folks, there is one body, verse 4, and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God, Christ. Wherein he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he is also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth in the same also that ascendeth up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting, for the equipping, for the edifying, equipping, giving the dear folks, the saints of God, the ability, giving them what they need to walk through this world, walk through this valley of the shadow of death. Perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You know, we talked Friday night a little bit about one of our dear brothers who has found a group of people that he's blessed with and able to be able to speak with. And we warned that being out in the world, you can come across these things. But folks, read that again. Read those words again we just read. From we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. That dear brother will not be tossed to and fro, no matter what pool he steps into out into the world. If anything, he'll see the truths of God's word enlightened to his heart of what the world truly is. He will not be turned because he knows the truths of God through the word of God being revealed to him by God. By the slate of men shall not be affected upon him. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Speaking of Christ, which is the head, even Christ. Now listen to these words. From whom the whole body fit jointly together, that you and I, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Allow me, if you would, to read an article written by Pastor Daniel Parks. It's titled Progressive Sanctification. Listen to these words. The term progressive sanctification is very commonly used, but never found in Holy Scriptures. While some take this term to mean to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we read earlier in 2 Peter 3:18, others mean to grow in holiness. To do the latter, writes Daniel Parks, is to become holier. Now I want you to turn over to Isaiah 65:5 real quick. 65:5. We're going to look at two more pieces of scripture actually before we bring this to a close. 65:5. Isaiah 65 verse 5. And I want you to see this for yourself. He says these words. Interestingly, the word holier appears only once in the Bible, and where it is associated with, and where it is associated with something that God detests. Look at Isaiah 65:5. Which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. You see how the folks in that day, the folks of the church, the religious Jews of that time, that's who Isaiah is addressing here. They were raising themselves up. This is what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, all of those who worshipped in the temple, who wore the great robes. This is what our dear friend over in Rome, the Pope, does. He raises himself above what we're supposed to be, what we are. We are but worms before God, and these men think they are holier than thou. Isn't that interesting that that's the only place that this is used? Daniel goes on to say, saints realize that their only sanctification is Christ. Now look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. 1 Corinthians, right after Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. Oops, that's 2 Corinthians. I thought I was in the wrong place there. There wasn't 29 verses. Kind of gave me an idea, right? You would think. Look at verses 29 through 31. Again, I'm going to read that statement. He said, saints realize that their only sanctification is Christ, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Are we progressively sanctified? Are we progressively set apart? Absolutely. The more I walk with this world, the less I can walk with those who are of a different religion. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be getting married to someone this day and age. Do you believe the Lord? Can we get married? It was tough enough already being married. For her and I both. Trust me, folks. You know, I've said this to you before. I've shared with you some of the things that I thought was tough in being married to a woman who didn't believe God. You should hear the things that she thought was tough. There's a whole lot bigger list of it. And she rightfully had those thoughts. Those were rightfully problems for her to deal with. I can't even use the language I used to use anymore around him. He goes all crazy. He's talking holier than thou. And he did. Can't imagine what it would be like. But we are set apart. But it is God who sets us apart.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Bill, would you mind leading us in closing prayer?